Associate Professor Louise Signal joins us, and Louise has done a lot of work about marketing of junk food. It's such an issue for Māori and Pacifica people, the prevalence of junk food outlets in poorer communities goes without saying. There are just dozens of them everywhere you turn. It's estimated, though, that 30 to 50% of cancer cases in this country are preventable, and alcohol consumption and what food we eat contribute to that situation. New research from the University of Otago has shown that New Zealanders want the government to take policy action to reduce people's exposure to alcohol and dietary cancer risk factors in their environment. Louise Signal, who is with us as the Director of Health Promotion and Policy Research at the University of Otago in Wellington, also co-authored the report. She's with us today. Louise, tēnā koe. My name is Dale, and I thank you for joining us on Pākehā.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Tēnā koe, Louise. Well, obviously, we've never been able to work out exactly how cancer works, and, you know, despite the best minds over centuries, we haven't come up with a cure. So it's here to stay, and it's a problem that we have to deal with. 30 to 50% of cancer cases are preventable. Talk that one through for us, please, Louise.
Yes, that's right. There is a great deal that we can do if the environment in which we live our lives is conducive to helping us to prevent ourselves getting cancer. And one of the big things in Aotearoa is alcohol, and another is junk food, as you rightly point out. So if we can let the public know, let Māori know just how extensive the consequences of alcohol are for cancer risk, hopefully they will become more conscious of the need to either drink a lot less or not drink at all.
Okay, well, let's talk about alcohol. It's so ubiquitous, it's available everywhere. It's a national pastime getting on the grog, it would seem. But I don't know that so many people realise the correlation between alcohol consumption and cancer. Is it direct? Is there some data that says drinking booze is a contributor to alcohol? You're singling out that stimulant in ways others perhaps haven't. What does the data say about alcohol or booze and cancer?
Yeah, I think there's been information in recent years that's clarified the fact that alcohol is a carcinogen. It causes about 7 different cancers, including breast cancer and bowel cancer. So it's about 6% of people who die from cancer in Aotearoa every year die as a result of alcohol-related cancer causes. So that's it's a big number. It's actually 642 last year, 642 souls lost to alcohol through cancer. That's double the road toll. It's a very serious issue in our country, and one that the Cancer Society has been focusing on for a number of years now, recognising the importance of this, and that's why they wanted us to do this work for them to try and better understand what the public does and doesn't know about alcohol as a cause of cancer, and also what they'd like to see done about preventing cancer harm, which there is much that can be done, and they've been they're very supportive indeed of regulatory change in the space of alcohol, and really will be encouraging the new government, I think, to be confident to act in this space.
It feels as though, you know, each year we hear new reports about what might cause cancer, and, you know, it's everything from eating bacon to, any type of kind you want to mention, processed foods, etc. Do you think that many different products are cancer-causing, but the list is getting long and people get a little bit bewildered?
I guess that is a challenge for us, but in the end we know that that UV, for example, sun exposure is a problem. We know that alcohol is a problem. We know that junk food is a problem. But on the flip side of that, we know that if you are able to eat a healthy diet with lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, if you could have a more traditional diet, say in Māori, in the Te Ao Māori sense, you would fare much better. And So fresh fruit and vegetables, not eating junk food, food that didn't exist just a couple of generations ago. There are very constructive things people can do, and they ought to be easy. But unfortunately, in the current context in New Zealand, healthy food is very expensive, and we know that the price of healthy food is a problem in Aotearoa because we have this duopoly, this lack of competition, if you like, in the supermarket industry. And we see that the government has recently appointed a supermarket regulator to try and keep those prices down. I think that's a good move. I think that would help all of us to be able to eat a better healthy diet. But we need to make sure that the regulator has enough power to ensure that everybody can afford a healthy diet.
Tēnā koe, fresh fruit and veggies. I've been watching a program about longevity and being active, having friends. Oh, you've probably watched this one about centenarians globally, eating simple food, you know, good quality oils, olive oils, etc., the old love apples, the tomatoes. This is up in Europe. But it all came down to connections, really, and to their longevity. When we look at the rates of cancer in New Zealand and line up sugar, for instance, I noticed Chris Luxon at the sugar factory at Chelsea over here, photographed smiling yesterday, and I wonder whether or not we are keeping the sugar barons in check. It's just in everything, isn't it, sugar? How does this sit as a carcinogenic?
Well, certainly keeping weight down is a significant protector against cancer. So again, less sugar, less weight for many people. And the public are very supportive of getting the price of healthy food down. That's their number one sort of ask of government. But they're also very supportive of the Food in Schools program, which has been, a really positive move and one that I hope the current government will maintain. But thirdly, they're keen on a sugary drinks tax. All the fizzy drinks and cordials and stuff we drink are kind of unnecessary calories that will put the weight on. So if we can discourage people from drinking sugary drinks, that would make a significant difference to our diets. And we know that the Conservative government of the United Kingdom introduced a sugary drinks tax some years ago now, and they're reaping the benefits of that. So I think we should be doing that. If we did get a sugary drinks tax, we probably could use that money to support sports who would be looking for sponsors if we were to remove alcohol sponsorship for sport, which is one of the major strategies that the public are keen on in the alcohol space.
Tēnā koe, Louise. Can you talk us through the research, how it was conducted? And obviously the findings are that most want the government to take policy action to reduce our exposure to alcohol and dietary cancer risk. How did that surface through the course of the study work you've been doing?
Thank you. It is a national survey with equal explanatory power for Māori and Pacific. So we oversampled Māori and Pacific to make sure we could be very clear about what their views were. We're not finding much difference at all on an ethnic basis, but we do find that there is a general consensus around needing reform in this space. And a lot of other people are pretty neutral on the subject. So opposition is far, far less than there is support. So in the alcohol space, it's getting rid of alcohol sponsorship of sport, which was something that's been discussed over the last 12 months, something that I think we really need to do. We've done it for tobacco. I think we could easily do it for alcohol. I don't think it would cost sport a huge amount, and I think that we could find ways to get around that. Another one is to increase the price of alcohol. I know the cost of living is an issue for everybody, but if we could stop drinking so much of alcohol products, then that would not only save money for us as individuals, but us as a society. We know that alcohol costs the country about $8 billion a year in health and well-being costs and in lost productivity. people not turning up to work. And we only bring in about $1 billion in tax. So you've got about a $7 billion difference between what it costs the nation and what it what money we bring in. And that is profit that the alcohol industry have, that you and I as taxpayers, that you know, small businesses around this country are picking up the tab for. So I think we do need to take notice of the public's opinion on this issue and take a stronger stance against the alcohol industry. To ensure that there is less availability, less marketing, and that alcohol is not as cheap and easily available, particularly that low-priced, cheap alcohol. We really need to knock the bottom off that, and we've seen that in Scotland to very good effect. So I think there's much that the government could do, and I think they should feel confident to do it.
Tēnā koe, a lot of our people live in these suburbs. They like living together, our people do. We cluster together, but often they're in low socio-economic areas. And I touched on it in the introduction, Louise, about just how prevalent fast food joints are and booze shops, now vape shops as well. I mean, they just get peppered, our low our battling suburbs. What do you make of this? And it's not an issue that's affects the leafy suburbs and the way that it does the poorer suburbs, but what do you make of it? Do you get disheartened when you drive through a suburb and you just see them all lined up beside each other, all these fast food joints, and what to be done of them?
Well, our children don't stand a chance, really, do they? I do feel really disheartened. We know that it's true, just what you said, that in poor neighbourhoods there's more junk food outlets and there's more alcohol. Maybe it's the real estate that's cheaper in low economic areas, so it's cheaper for the alcohol shops to be kind of on the border of the wealthy suburbs, but you know, not in their neighbourhood kind of thing. But there's clear evidence that that's the case. We've got a proliferation of availability of both of those products, and we need to get it out of our communities, because if it's available, you'll eat it. If you had it heavily marketed to you, you're going to buy it. You know, we've done a study where we asked the children if they were prime minister for a day, would they do anything about junk food marketing? And they said, yeah, we'd ban it. And we'd tell the truth. And we'd take down all those billboards that make us feel hungry. You know, so I think really there's a real will amongst the public to have an environment that supports them. And certainly the environment that I grew up in Aotearoa, we didn't have the marketing. We didn't have that proliferation of junk food. It wasn't even thought of in the way that it is today. And I think we need to act against those industries who are making a profit off our poor health.
Nice talking with you, Louise. Thanks very much. Food for thought and food for health too, friends, if you're listening today. Louise Signal, kindly with us today, who co-authored the new report out of Otago University. Thank you, Louise, for sharing some kōrero with us. Wishing you well for the day ahead. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi.
Tēnā koe.